on a dead straight track. Jeff Lang, welcome to Soundcheck.
Good to be here.
You've got a new album in the can, Whatever Makes You Happy, which is what I think is a 10th solo record.
Yeah, I think that is the 10th one. I haven't actually been keeping count, but it's been 10 years of doing records, so I guess if it averages out at one a year, it's not bad.
Do you still enjoy the actual process of getting into a studio and laying down stuff?
Yeah, I do, yeah. It's great because, I mean, you just have to approach it as a different thing to doing a gig, and then you can really enjoy both, because I think sometimes I've spoken to a lot to friends of mine who don't really enjoy recording because they really see themselves as live performers, and they find it a little bit foreign to go and do like a live performance in a studio with no audience, you know, with one guy sitting behind a glass window looking at you every now and then and twiddling with controls. So they find it kind of foreign, whereas I actually like sort of trying to capture a snapshot of the song that's really effective, you know, and trying to work out the best way of doing that and almost like trying to reach the audience. You know, it's almost like radio is like that too. You would be talking to people to a perceived audience out through beyond the microphone somewhere. So it's got that element to it of actually getting the song out through a lag in time and space to someone. So yeah, I enjoy both.
Your previous solo CD, Everything Is Still, had that really live kind of sound to it as well, because it was just you and your percussionist, Angus
Diggs.
Yeah,
yeah.
But your latest CD has a bit more of a polished sound to it. Was there a different process between those two records in the recording?
Yeah, there was, actually. Like, with any record, you try and actually do what suits the batch of songs best. But it was like a two-way thing with Everything Is Still, because I'd been playing those songs live with just myself and Angus, and they seemed to work in that context, and I was really enjoying doing the live shows with just me and Angus. So, you know, I was like, okay, well, if we can, we'll just go in and do it like we've been doing it live in the studio. But it was like a combination of trying to make sure that approach that you had in mind suited the songs. Whereas with this one, we actually wanted to make sure that we were approaching it song by song, really. So we had a core band, but then that got augmented by whatever we felt was needed to you know, complement the songs better. In the case of The Save, we'd have Angus lay down a big bed of percussion first, and then I played and sung on national guitar, and the bass player, Grant, played with me, and we laid that down, and then, okay, I can actually hear a couple of other guitar parts that'll work, and the solo in that one was backwards. So, you know, and in other songs it wouldn't be guitar, it would be like, okay, maybe, you know, singing Saw on one. Just, you know, really going for whatever sound was in our heads that we could hear extending and you know, really bringing out the mood of the song, that's what we would go for instrumentation-wise. So that was a different approach.
And even vocalist-wise as well, where there's a song where you're sharing lead vocals with Susanna Espy from
yes.
Gid.
Yeah. Melbourne band, great singers and three great writers in that band. I really love those guys. Yeah, those gals, I should say. yeah, and you know, because that song, By Face Not Name, was from a woman's point of view, it seemed like Tim and I were both in agreement that it might be, apart from having them add this kind of bed of backing vocals to it, like a gospel choir sort of thing. Yeah, it might be a good idea to have a female voice singing the song all the way through with me, and Susanna was both of our natural sort of first choice for that. She's a great singer.
A lone car stopped as I walked home that night. I ignored all the warnings, a young lady. I knew what he had on his mind. It was too far for screaming, too cold for tears. Too far for screaming, too cold for tears.
I don't really try and write songs from any particular point of view. I don't actually set out to, you know, like today I am upset with the government's foreign policy, so I'm going to write a song about that. I've tried it in the past and it doesn't really work. You know, I might go, oh, this would be an interesting story, and you try and contrive it and it sounds contrived, funnily enough. So what I do is just sort of wait until the almost like a tap on the shoulder, you get that feeling like the song's coming in. And so I just grab whatever I can find, start writing down any lyrics that come to mind. So with that song, that's what I was doing. I guess the germ or the spark or whatever of, you know, that song idea came from driving around in the States and seeing loads of pro-life billboards and just talking about it with my wife and being kind of irritated by it, by how much it seems to be, you know, very dogmatic, telling women what they should and shouldn't do. And so, you know, we're just talking about it, and there was no thought of writing a song. But then, you know, 6 weeks later, I write this thing down and then reread it and check out what the slant of it seemed to be. And it's like, it sort of reflected those feelings in a way, but not in a sort of, oh, look, this is how I feel about this. It's more telling a story from the first person perspective of a woman in a certain situation, and it ends up sort of hopefully showing you a story that then you respond to with how you feel, rather than telling you how to feel about something. I was not sure at first if I'd be able to sing it effectively being a guy, and it's like, oh, maybe I should just sort of try and find someone else to sing it. But I then introduced it to gigs and it went over really well, and I started feeling more and more confident about it.
Time comes for me to hold that child to my breast. Will I feel only love, or will my heart hold down? Will I too see his face like I do in rest? Or whiskey fire breath with his hand on my mouth? His whiskey fire breath. One hand on my mouth.
So have you got plans to maybe do some more touring? Where are you headed next after this small Australian tour?
Yeah, go back to America for September and October and then come back home again. I mean, the record's just come out here, so I'd like to actually get out and explore some different areas. I mean, my friend Bob Rosman just went to Papua New Guinea and had an incredible experience there, collaborating with local people, and I know he found it really rewarding. So, I mean, that sort of thing does sort of put a little fire in your belly of like, wow, maybe I should actually stray from the beaten path touring-wise a bit and go to some of these countries where it wouldn't be so obvious that you would go to them, but it can be really enriching and rewarding. But yeah, for now there's certain plans in place that involve going and touring in the States and coming back and touring here.
Can you imagine doing any more collaborative work with Bob Rosman? You worked on that CD Rolling Through This World.
Sure, it's always good fun to play with Bob. He's dynamite. He really is. The ABC recorded a show in Darwin with myself and Bob, and it was really an exciting gig, and the recording came up well, so he and I have talked that's sort of sitting there, and at some point we could do something with that and maybe record some more material, but we'll see.
Jeff Lang, thanks very much for chatting to me today on Soundcheck.
No problem, good to be here.